Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You know, when you go into somebody's life, you are the revelation. Folks, we know religion's got a bad rap today, right? People are thinking, well, these religious people and those religious people and these pastors and those people and money grubbers and even some of the high church pedophilia scandals that are out there and some of the pastors that have fallen across because you got a TV, you hear about something happening in California and Florida and suddenly everybody, the devil's all about that. But when you show up, you show them Jesus. And in spite of that, Dr. Falwell used to say, if Baptist got a bad name in your area, give it a good one. I'm a Baptist. You know what? Jesus never begged people to come. He invited them to come. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the way he does it. So many pastors can get a little less angry if they just realize it's all about what Jesus did and try to mimic that. Because each person has to make their call. The Bible says this grace is going to come when the revelation comes. Now, when I talk about that again, I showed you that we're supposed to show forth that grace, but there's also passages that you need to recognize also that talk about this. You're a chosen generation. But also, let's go to chapter 2 real quick. I'll show it to you. The Bible says you're a chosen generation in verse 9 to show forth. You see it, right? Show forth the grace of God. That's verse 9. You're supposed to show it forth. In fact, that word is only used in this verse. Show forth in this way. But then it says this, look at it in verse 18 and 19, actually 19. It says this, if you suffer when you don't deserve to suffer, it says this is thankworthy. Now, interesting choice of words, because the word is grace. Literally what he says, if you suffer when you don't deserve to suffer, this is grace. What's he saying? There's a manifold grace, it's supposed to be on you, and he wants others to see it. The Greek word is grace. He says, this is grace. And in verse 20, it says, for what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults, but you take it patiently? But if when you don't deserve to suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable. Again, the word grace. Now, my point I'm trying to make for you is that God wants grace in your life. He wants it to be seen. He wants it to be understood. He wants it to be teased out in other people's lives. They need to see grace. He's upended the people. He's upended you and me. He's scattered us. He's made us seedlings. He's given us the light of the glory of Christ in the face of Jesus. We take that and we have it upon us and we take it to our world. The Bible says, as you get back to our first chapter in verse 13, it says, having your loins girt up, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Okay. How did you fashion yourself? Do you remember fashioning yourself? You know, the guys would coif their hair back in the days of the 50s, grease in the hair, right? Get some lube in that stuff and separate it and get the good rows going through. Fashioning themselves. According to what? The lust of this world. We wanted people to want us. It was all wrong. It was all based on carnality. I am telling you, today, we need to not do that. He says, don't fashion yourself according to this world's lusts. Because that's the natural thing. That's what you learned. For somebody who was a religious person, they might have been fashioning themselves to have their phylacteries. They might have been fashioning themselves to have their big old family Bible when they went down the road, you know, to go to church. So everybody knew. Whatever it was, they wanted to be seen. Some people just went to church in the 50s because it was socially advantageous to their business. I'm telling you, that's fashioning yourself according to the lusts of this world. He says back in verse 15, it says, don't fashion yourself in 14 as according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. When he says be holy, that's an aorist passive imperative. What that means is it's a snapshot of something that should be true of you. And it's not true of you because you made yourself as holy. It's because you already are holy because Jesus saved you. And in him, he is your righteousness. In him, he is your holiness. In him, you are complete. And you own that. But he doesn't leave it there because in the next verse, he explains, because it is written, you must be. Now, that's an imperative. He was talking in the shadow lands of the Old Testament. He was telling his people back there, you must be holy. We already are. If we're saved, we already are, and we know it. Because we have what the prophets didn't have. We have an absolutely disclosed justification. Having been justified by faith, therefore, we have peace with God. We have it now. This salvation gets you home. Okay? This is the good stuff. You got gas in the trunk, right? You run out of gas, you got some in the trunk. Now, keep going. God's going to get you there. It's a cornucopia. It will never run out. He says, you must be holy, is what he told them. But for you and me, he says, be ye holy. Live as who you really are. In fact, we saw it in verse 2 of chapter 1. He says, you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. The word sanctification is got a center. Its root word is hagiath, which is the word for holy. It's the holification of you. You have holification. God has sanctified you. I know it's a weird coined word I'm making up, but it is what it is. He made you holy. That's why you're called most often in Scripture saints. You're already there. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, called to be saints, called saints. And by the way, in Corinthians where it says called to be saints, to be is added by the translators in italics. It's called saints. You're called saints if you know Jesus. So he says you have this holification that you have been given through the Spirit. And he says, now, you've already girded up the loins of your mind. You've already set yourself in this paradigm of Christ is the Savior and other people need him. Now he's tipped over your apple cart. Now things are getting real. Now it's time to look for the manifold grace of God. It's not just the saving reality. It's a keeping reality. It's not just the saving and keeping reality. It is also a reflective reality that you bring to people around you. God's grace is supposed to ooze off of you. The Bible says we are a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. Some people will bristle at your presence because you are showing grace. And that's okay. That's okay. We love our enemies, right? Why do we do that? Because they're lost. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. Stephen said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. How can you love somebody who's throwing a stone hit you in the head? Who are your own people who've known you probably all your life. It's in the city. They know him. And here we are looking at a world that's kind of turning dark on us. And we just love them anyway when they don't know what they're doing. The Bible says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And verse 17 says, and if you call, literally since you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, what is it you're supposed to fear? Well, you fear that you won't pass the test of, you know, being all that you could have been. We have a heavenly Father, and he just made it very personal by calling him the Father. Okay? You remember when you were little, all you wanted was your dad to see you. You're riding the bike and you run off the road because you're looking over your shoulder to see if dad sees you. I'm riding the bike. God wants you to walk spiritually. He wants you to run and not be weary. He wants you to mount up with wings as eagles. He wants us to be that. And he delights in it. He wants us to gird up our minds. He wants us to get on the right page with him. He wants us to see what he's up to. He wants us to connect. And he wants us to access and look for hope to the end for the grace that is being brought. God is bringing you stuff. You see, some people get in the moment to the point where they can't recognize there's a tomorrow. In this world we're living in, people are suicidal. They've got suicidal when they were closed up. It's kind of breathing now. But there are other countries. We've got Australia still pent up. We've got Canada still locked down in certain sectors of it. Not all of it. A lot of it's opening up. But my point is that there are still places where people are losing the plot of the fact that there's grace being brought to them if they're God's children. And if they get their minds around the fact that God is bringing them grace for whatever's to come, they can look for it. I'll tell you something. You know, you and I are in a remarkable time as far as any part of the body of Christ. We are here today. We're sitting right up on the front row. And we're watching the stage be set for the Antichrist to appear. And he may appear before the rapture because of the fact that the actual tribulation doesn't start until the reconfirming of a covenant with Israel. So you and I are going to feel that fire a little bit, but we're going to get out of here before Jesus allows everything to go sideways completely. And he's got you. He's got you, beloved. And you need to know it. He is your Father. And what you want to fear is not fear God. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. But here he's drawing them in to say, pass your sojourning in fear. Why? Because now's the test. Now's when you're putting the boat out on the water and seeing if it's going to float. A little precarious right there. The Bible says this in James. It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, what we do is we pray and say, God bless what we're doing. And what we should do is do what God is blessing. Right? This is the difference. And a lot of times our Christian faith has been, God bless what I'm doing. And that's, God's okay with that. Everything's calm. The sea's calm. Everything's calm. But when things go sideways, you need to say, what's God blessing right now? What do I need to do? So that's the thing. Luke 19:17 says, because thou hast been faithful over a little, you'll have authority over 10 cities. Do you want 10? Do you want 5? Do you want none? I mean, you could bury it in an apron in the back, in a little handkerchief in the backyard. But you are now being put into the circulation. You are doing that. The Bible says in Luke 12:8, it says, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Don't you want the angels of God behind you when things are going sideways? So you just confess him before men. You just make sure you make yourself known. You're God's child. You know, recently, because everything's gone headphones, I've gone to work at times now and I'll take out a speaker and I'll put my music on the radio in front of them. And it's kind of funny because I found this interesting station. It's a Mexican station and it plays a little bit of country songs that are, you know, marriage and family. And then it also plays old time hymns. So people are walking and they're twisting and they're like, what do I do with this? Because it sounds familiar. But then it's like, oh. But what has happened as a result of it is I've let myself be known to people who don't even know me, that there's somebody here who loves Jesus. I used to do that years ago, but because everybody puts their headphones in, it was something I hadn't done because it just wasn't done. But I'm doing it now because it's time. It's time to do that. It's time to be real. Wear a pin on your lapel saying, I love Jesus. I don't care what you do. Don't put honk if you love Jesus, because if you're speeding, then you know. So you don't want to do that. Okay. Cutting somebody off. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. And the elect angels. I charge you before the elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one before the other, doing nothing by partiality. Don't do anything partial to yourself. Don't be that'll do you good as far as, you know, favoring you and not God. But also don't do it for the fear of faces of men. He's telling Timothy. Do these things that I'm telling you to do. And then finally, in Revelation 3, verse 5, the Bible says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So he's talking about people who are going through things. I think that's a Philadelphian church he's talking about. And what I'm saying to you is that we're looking at a time where you and I are being called to access an aspect of the grace of God you weren't using before. It's a manifold grace. It saves. It keeps. It encourages. It strengthens. But it also reflects to the lost people around you. And God's going to buoy you up. So look for it every single day. And try to cooperate with your salvation. Holy in Christ. Complete in him. Saved, secure, tethered. Even when the winds blow hard, he is with you. He promised, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Good to know. Let's bow together. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.